One of the nice compliments you hear people when they talk about shiduchim, you know, so they always want to talk up a guy. One of the nicer things they can say is that he's a tmimus dik person. So every word carries a certain connotation to it. What does tmimus dik generally mean when you say someone's a tmimus dik person? So typically we understand the tamim to be someone, the way I understand it, is that tmimus equals humility plus integrity. Right, when you have that the person has just a humble way about him, a humble demeanor, and he has a lot of integrity, he's very honest. That's what we refer to tamimus dik as, someone who's very honest, very sincere, very humble, and that's generally what tamim means. Now, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha." I want my heart to be a tamimus dik, a heart b'chukecha, with your chukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with your laws. And the Medrash comments, "What does it mean b'chukecha?" Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaParah, that through the Chok of Korban Pesach and the Chok of Parah Aduma, that's how David HaMelech hopes to achieve Tmimus. So the obvious kasha is, what in the world do the Korban Pesach and the Parah Aduma have to do with each other? And what in the world do they have to do with Tmimus? How does that at all lead you to a sense of Tmimus? And not only that, the Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaParah couldn't be more different from each other. What's the yisod of Parah Aduma? The yisod of Parah Aduma is that nobody understands it. And that we don't even try to explain how Parah Aduma works. It's metame the tzar, metare the tame. It doesn't make any sense. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Amarti yachma v'hiruchoka mimeni." I thought I was so smart. This is beyond me. I can't even understand this. And Shlomo HaMelech was the chacham mikol adam. That's the yisod of Chukas HaParah. Parah Aduma is something that's beyond human comprehension. It's the one place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us in the Torah that you better understand that your intellect is limited by how much, by what I allow you to understand. And this I don't allow you to understand. No one understands it. That's the idea of Chukas HaPara. What's Chukas HaPesach? Right, Chukas HaPara, Rashi's Lashon. Chukim Chakakti, Gzeros Gazarti, Ein L'Chorishus Lahar Rachrean. Chukas HaPara is, this is my law, and that's it. Don't ask any kashas. What's Chukas HaPesach? So Chukas HaPesach is for all four sons at the Seder to understand. And if the kid doesn't even know how to ask about it, Ap Sachlo, you start him off and you start explaining it to him, and you go starting with Rachel Bitcha Ketana, with Aleph Beis, you tell him exactly what he needs to know, and it's described in great detail, the whole Maisa, the whole story that happened in Mitzrayim, so that he could understand very clearly why we're doing Korban Pesach. It's the exact opposite of Parah Aduma. It's the one place in the Torah where we're so careful that even the stupidest kid should be able to understand what it's all about. The wisest man in the history of humanity didn't understand Chukas HaParah. Chukas HaPesach is even for the least wise person in the Jewish people. So how does Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaParah equal Tmimus? What do they have to do with each other, and how do they get to Tmimus? Rashi tells us that at Akedas Yitzchak, when the Malach came to tell Avram, don't slaughter Yitzchak, Rashi says, Amale Avram, Afarish Lefanecha Sichi, Etmal Amarta Li, Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikari Lechazera, V'chazartav Amarta Li, Kach Nespincha Velei Lola. Avram says to the Malach, wait a second, don't slaughter him? What's going on over here? One day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells me that nation building is going to happen through Yitzchak. Kibi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazera. It's all going to come through Yitzchak. This is the one who all of Klal Yisrael is going to come from. The next day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells me, slaughter him. And now you come and tell me, don't slaughter him? What's going on? Make up your mind. Yes or no? Is this kid going to be for real? Is he going to stay or is he not going to stay? Now you tell me, Al Tishlach Yorcha Lanar. So Rashi quoting from Medrash. But the Medrash is very troubling. Because if you're Avraham Avinu, when do you ask that question? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, I'm going to build up a nation through this kid. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, kill him. Avraham Avinu doesn't say a word. And then it's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind the second time, Al Tishlach Yorcha Lanar, don't do anything to the kid. Now all of a sudden I have kashas. Don't do anything? Why can't I kill him? You just told me to kill him. What do you mean, don't do anything? Isn't the kasha coming a little bit late in the game? The kasha should have been with the first change of mind. What do you mean, kill him? How could you? But there, Avraham Avinu is totally silent. Doesn't say a single word. Why does Avraham wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change his mind a second time in order to ask any kashas? So Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, explains that there are two elements of Avodas Hashem that need to be clarified. And with this, we can answer all the kashas. There's the Chukas HaPara element. And Chukas HaPara represents, as we described, the requirement to observe Torah and to observe the Dvar Hashem even when we have no concept or Havana of what it's all about. We don't understand it and we do it anyway. Why do we do it? Because God said we should do it and we know that's good enough for us. The requirement, the second element of Avodah Hashem is the Chukas HaPesach. What's the Chukas HaPesach? Yes, we did it once. Something that we did because God told us to do. But then after doing it, year after year, we always revisit and try to understand it better. Not that our understanding is based on, you know, now if I understand it, I'll do it. If I don't, no, we did it. We're doing it. We're committed. But now that I'm doing it, now that I'm observing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do, I'm going to try to understand it better. I'm going to try to come to a deeper Havana of exactly what it is I'm doing. That's the Chukas HaPesach. During the time of Asiyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu call to action, that's not a time to start analyzing. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, go Shecht Yitzchak. That's not a time to start saying, well, wait a second, Ribbono Shalom, shouldn't I? When Kodesh Baruch Hu says, stop. Take a step back. Now you can start analyzing. Okay, what did you want from me at the Shas Asiyah? Why did you tell me to Shecht him? Now you can start. Now that you know you listened when he told you to do it, now you can go back and revisit and try to get a little bit of a deeper insight into why it is that he told you to do it. And what exactly the Ribbono Shel Olam had in mind. Based on that, I think Rav Asher Weiss also explains the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Peches, where the Gemara tells us, "Bishah shekdimu Yisrael nasal nishma yardu samach riba malach esharis vil bishulam shnei ksarim echad keneged nasa vechad keneged nishma." That when Klal Yisrael said nasa before nishma, 600,000 angels came down, pairs of angels came down. And they put two crowns on our heads, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. Now note, the Gemara does not say, Bishah Sha'omru Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma. The Gemara says, Bishah Shehikdimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma. What's the difference? If it was Omru Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma, the Gemara would be highlighting the value of each word. Nasa is critical, Nishma is critical. Each one has value, two crowns. One for Nasa, one for Nishma. But the Gemara is saying, Hikdimu Nasa L'Nishma. It's not about the words themselves, it's about the order that the words were put in. How many times were we Makdim Nasa to Nishma? Just once. To be Makdim Nasa L'Nishma, that's one event that the Torah said, that the Gemara is highlighting. Why two crowns then? One Keneged Nasa, one Keneged Nishma. It's not about the words themselves, it's about the order, the sequence in which they were said. That should only be one crown. So Rav Asher Weiss explains that putting Nasa before Nishma is actually two separate chidushim, and each is worthy of its own crown. First, there's the willingness to say Nasa even before we're Nishma. There's the willingness to say, you know what, Ribbono Shel Olam, you said I should do it, I'm going to do it, I don't need to understand it in order to do it. That's one crown. The other crown is the willingness to be Nishma after we're already Nasa. Sometimes we do something, okay, it's over, I don't need to focus on it anymore, it's gone. Over zmano batal karbano, I don't think about it anymore. But the willingness to say, you know what, not only am I committed, but even after being committed, I'm going to go and revisit and think and analyze and understand, that's also a maila. And that's a separate maila. Maila number one is to be committed because it's the Dvar Hashem. Maila number two is even after you're committed to go and revisit and learn and study and understand. And that's the two stadim of the Chukas HaPesach and the Chukas HaPara. Nasa, doing Nasa before Nishma. That's the idea of Chukas HaPara. We're going to do, we don't need to understand. Doing Nishma after you already did Nasa. That's the Chukas HaPesach. We've done it already, but now we want to analyze, we want to understand, we want to talk about it, we want to explain it to our children, we want to have a deep Havana of what's going on. So David HaMelech wants to be a complete Jew. So he says, Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha. I want to have a sense of tmimus, I want to be a tamim. B'chukecha, how am I going to be a tamim? I'm going to take the example of the two chukim, of the chok of Paraduma, which teaches me that you have to jump into a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sense of responsibility to do the right thing. And what does it take to have that sense of responsibility to not understand and just trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he knows what's right? That takes a profound sense of humility. You have to be able to be mevatel yourself completely and say, you know what, I don't understand, but I don't need to understand, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that much greater than me, and I know that what he says goes, and I'm just going to do it. That's humility. And the second element David HaMelech is praying for is the Chukas HaPesach. That even after I do, I want to go back and I want to understand and I want to think about it and I want to make sure that I did everything right. I want to make sure that I understand exactly what it's all about. That's integrity. What's tamimus? Humility plus integrity. I want my actions to have such integrity that I want to understand every detail of those actions. I don't want to miss a single kutzo shel yud of it. That's integrity. So David HaMelech says, Yehili bitamim b'chukecha. I want a sense of tmimus. Says the Medrash. What's tmimus? Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaParah. That's the definition of tmimus. It's having a sense of being willing to commit yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you know, understand it or not, and then after you've committed, continuing to study and to learn about it. Very often when people are raised in a religious environment, Baruch Hashem, we experience Chukas HaParah a lot as children. I often ask myself, if I was not, you know, whenever I meet a Baal Tshuva, I often ask myself, if I were in their shoes, would I have ever become a Baal Tshuva? And the answer probably is no. Sadly. Why is the answer no? You know why? Because I'm a good boy. I was always a good boy. I did exactly what my parents told me to do. Well, not always. I mean, if my parents will listen to this online, maybe they'll beg to differ. But for the most part, I was a good boy. I went with what, you know, what the family wanted from me. Raised in a frum environment, there's a lot of Chukas HaPesach. We do a lot of things, and we have no Havana why we're doing it. And it's the right thing. We should still do. We can't raise our children to say, you know what, only start doing the mitzvahs when you understand them fully. That would be a horrible idea. Right? We need to have the Chukas HaParah element. We need to have that idea of just doing it to do it. The Tzlach gives a mashal. Now, the Yehuda Sefer on Shas is a Tzlach. He gives a mashal. He says, you have a ship that gets shipwrecked and it's lost on some deserted island. From my generation, we would call it Gilligan's Island. I guess you would call it Lost or whatever, right? So he's, you know, they have this group of people that's on this island and a baby's born on the island. Now, the baby is pretty talented. He grows up and there's no one. They have no connection in the outside world. They hunt for food. They make do with whatever. They build a hut or whatever it was. In Gilligan's Island, they built a radio somehow. Whatever, you make it work. And the baby's pretty talented. He's a good hunter and he's a good cook. He does what he needs to do. But there's one guy in the island that keeps on taking the baby aside as the child grows up. Keeps on taking him aside each day and says, look, that's an aleph. And he'd scrape into the stone a base. That's a base. And then the next week, kamatz aleph a, kamatz base ba. And the baby's thinking, the kid is thinking, this isn't getting me food. It's not cooking food for the family. It's not giving us shelter. This is the most useless information in the entire world. What on God's green earth are you giving to me with telling me kamatz aleph a, kamatz base ba? Being literate? There are no books here. What do I need this for? It's all a total waste of time. And Slach explains, then one day, they get saved. They get off the island. And the baby can survive really well in the jungle. But now he understands that if you want to get a job, you need to be literate. If you want to be able to survive out there in the world, the most valuable information that he learned the whole time was kamatz aleph a, kamatz beis ba. But you need to be able to read. Why was that vague esoteric knowledge ever going to be important to him? When they got off the island, he understood. He understood what it was all about. The reading he did, the time he put into it, that's Chukas HaParah. He's sitting there on the island, it makes no sense to him why he has to do it. Then all the Havana that floods in later, when he gets off, that's Chukas HaPesach. Now he understands what it's all about. We put a lot of effort into living a frum life. But we have to be careful that it's not only Chukas HaParah. We can't stop at the Chukas HaParah stage. We have to also carry it through to the Chukas HaPesach stage. And yes, it's proper and appropriate to focus on the Shakla Vitaria of a Gemara and on the ins and outs of Rishonim, but we can't let it come at the complete expense of a simple Havana of what we do each and every day. You know what the most frightening thing for me is? I'm never that guy, thank God, that's on the subway and someone comes over and says, oh, Yarmulke, let me ask you about Judaism. But thank God I'm not. Because when they come over to me and ask me the kinds of questions that they ask, the simplest questions that the outsider will ask, how armed are we with the answers to those questions? Do we really understand it? I have to say, I'll express Hakaras HaTov publicly to the guys who thought up the idea of the 10-minute halacha shiur. Not so much just because, oh, it gets my name out there, my pictures, and why are you talking? 10-minute halacha, you know, because all those questions were like the most basic, it started with the most basic questions. It's stuff we do every day. It's netilas yadayim, it's tefillah, it's minyan, it's things that we do every day and that we just don't have a deep havana of. And it's something that we have to be mechazik ourselves in to understand not only the chukas hapar element, but the chukas hapesach. And if there's ever a time to be able to have time to work on these things, you know, there's a lot we try to do over ben hazmanim. Rav Shach in his Avi Ezri has a great line. He writes in the hakdama to the kachim section in the Avi Ezri. He says, you know, I never learned kachim in yeshiva. In Panovich we learn Nashim Nazikin. We learn what yeshivas learn. He said, but kachim, these thoughts I was able to write down during the Zman HaBeinayim. Rav Shach didn't know Hebrew. What's it called in yeshiva? It's not called Zman HaBeinayim. It's Ben Hazmanim. But to Rav Shach, there's no Ben Hazmanim. Everything is Zman. It's a question, is this the Zman where you're going to be focused on Nashim and Nezikin? Or is it the Zman HaBeinayim? It's in between Nashim and Nezikin when you can focus on Kachim. Everything's a Zman. There's a focus on something at every Zman during the year. There's no Ben Hazmanim, there's Zman HaBeinayim. Maybe during the Zman HaBeinayim, that's a time to be mechazik ourselves in this area of the Chukas HaPesach, and we should be zoche, through our commitment to the Chukas HaPara, to experience the understanding and the light of understanding what the Chukas HaPesach is all about as well, and therefore be zoche to Tmimus.